You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That is the best way, best opportunity for you to get in touch with the program, at least with this show. Still to come, State Senator Shea Shelnut joins us in the next hour. Chip Brown, State Representative from Hollinger's Island, and from SR Communications, Andy Britt for Alabama Campaign. Sean Ross makes his usual Wednesday appearance. But joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on our next guest. I represent the 2nd Congressional District. That's everything from the go to church or the devil will get you all the way to the Florida state line. United States Representative Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing just fine, Jeff. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. Washington in turmoil, one would think, with under Democrat control. Do you get a sense of panic from your Democrat colleagues as we are now kind of embarking into this election cycle?
Yeah, you know, we've had a sense of panic since I've been in charge, I guess. I've been here about 14 months, and it seemed like it was one crisis after another. And you know, honestly, the panic for me and my freshman class was just, are the American people listening? Are they paying attention to what the leadership from the White House to Pelosi to Schumer and the Senate, what are they doing to our nation? And so there was a sense of panic, but as the polls, as the numbers begin to change, and it's unfortunate, I think really the Afghanistan crisis in August, I think that was where we actually saw the momentum turn against Biden. You know, and he just seemed at that point that we saw the border, we saw inflation, we saw the printing of money and horrible budgets. But in Afghanistan, the American people began to wake up and see the process of failed leadership and what it was doing to our country, the morale around the globe. And so, yeah, I think now that we have 32 Democrats that aren't running, they are waking up and realizing the American people see this. And so it actually is a sigh of relief. Unfortunately, the damage being done to our country is troublesome, but a sigh of relief for me and my freshman class, me and the Republicans, to see that the American people woke up. And so, you know, I think in a lot of ways, Jeff, there is a sense of panic on the other side of the aisle. I think that's why there's 32 that have announced they're not running for reelection. And I think the polling numbers indicate that Biden's in big, big trouble.
Yeah, and then in the interim, though, they still control things at least until early next year. Then there's a lot of things, there's a lot of underwhelming the things going on in the country. Let's kick it off. Inflation, gas prices. I understand Republicans are likely to get control of the House, maybe the Senate. Let's assume for just a moment you could get control of Congress. What can you do to really get the Biden administration to back off of this this approach to energy?
Yeah, you know, I just think we have to continue to message to the American people. And the people are feeling this. I mean, the gas prices, the fertilizer prices, and fuel prices, the things that we see now, you know, it's just going to continue to go up. And they want to hit, the answer is to print more money. And I keep wondering, you know, why do we even charge taxes? I mean, if we can just print what we need to pay our bills, you know, what's the point of even having a tax rate in the country? So, you know, it's this inflation and this energy crisis that's being created by this administration is going to continue to hurt the American people. I just think we have to keep messaging, Jeff. I know we will have the purse strings once we take the majority in the House. Hopefully there's some things we can do to encourage and to push for a policy that is more about American people than energy as far as local production to keep prices down and to fight inflation. But at the end of the day, like I said, he's still in the White House. We'll have to just push to get past. But, you know, we'll see how it works out, man. I don't know at this point. We just got to do our job and hope for the best.
Well, when it comes to, what you can do to get to at least allow or get the Biden administration to allow more drilling or exploration, they insisted that's not the case. Nothing they are doing is preventing oil producers from producing more. But that seems to be kind of a conflicting report there, that there are some things they could do to back off and get back to a Trump-era style energy policy.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of, in a lot of ways, I think we as the conservatives and certainly as the Republicans have been saying all along, we look like prophets because we told them, hey, look, if you shut down the Keystone Pipeline, you kill those jobs, and then you allow Russia to go forward with Nord Stream 2, and you buy back into this Paris Climate Accord deal, that you're going to hurt the American people and you're going to drive up energy prices. And so, I think that it's just a common sense approach to producing energy. We produce it cleaner than anybody on the globe. And so, hopefully he'll listen to us. I know the American people seem to be waking up, but who didn't see this coming? I mean, we saw this coming. We told them prices were going to go, inflation was going to be a problem, energy prices were going to be a problem. And all that, I think it emboldened Putin to do what he's done. I mean, once we kind of shut down the Keystone process and slow roll the permitting process for our local energy producers, and then gave Russia a green light, I think it emboldened Putin to do what he did. And obviously Afghanistan was part of that process.
Congressman, let's move on to Russia, Ukraine, the U.S. The U.S. response to the Ukrainian situation, and particularly Biden kind of stumbling around and just seeming out of it, just maybe sending the wrong message to Vladimir Putin or even to our NATO allies of what we're doing. Well, what on earth do you make of the Biden administration and Joe Biden himself regarding this issue?
Well, I think they're just totally out of touch. I was in Ukraine in August prior to Afghanistan. And even then, the Ukrainian leadership, the parliamentarians that I met with, well, they were concerned about Nord Stream 2. They were concerned about Putin getting a green light. And in addition to that, Europe's dependence on Russia oil, and the money that was putting into Putin's pocket and allowing him to build a war chest, if you will. And so, I think that the administration is just, I mean, Joe Biden's been wrong on every foreign policy decision in the last four decades, and this is just another miscalculation. And, Secretary Blinken and Austin SecDef and all those folks, they can talk a good game, but their policies are always behind the eight ball to me. It seems like they're not forward thinking, and they really cannot see an approaching threat in the distance. And we saw this coming, like I said, months prior. And then I think when Afghanistan, I think that when it fell like it did and we left allies and people behind and we abandoned the area, I think that was in addition to the energy policies the administration had put forth. I think that was the green light for Putin. At that point, we started seeing him mobilize and, even end of the year, they were talking some sanctions, but we weren't really doing what we needed to do to be truly deterrent, not be a deterrent in the area. And now, it just seems like we're behind the eight ball as always and Biden's wrong again.
Yeah, and, that kind of gets me to the question about the panic. Like, well, Democrats see the mishandling of Biden and then obviously the energy prices and whatnot. And you see Nancy Pelosi out there still pushing January 6th committee stuff, drip, drip, drip. Is this what we're going to see from Democrats between now and the election? Worry you, bother you that they may they're held to this hope that they could maybe keep control of the Congress, and it's just it's going to be a Republican cycle, but they may try something, a Hail Mary or something of that sort, and put Republicans in kind of a tough place between now and then.
I don't see anything working for them at this point. I think that the American people see how big a failure this administration is. And, it's just, I don't think there's any way. And honestly, I think they're out of touch, Jeff. I don't know everything they seem to do. Like you said, they're focusing on January 6th and American people can't buy gas to get to work. And we've got this crazy inflation coming at American people. And, and Congress in all our infinite wisdom just gave our offices 21% more to operate with this year. But who's going to give the people at the kitchen table 21% more to operate their homes and to pay their bills and to do maintenance on their cars and to buy fuel and to buy food? I mean, who can make that decision for those folks? And it's poor policies coming out of D.C. that have created this crisis, have created this inflation, have created this instability around the world. And you know, I think Pelosi and them are totally out of touch with the American people. I think the poll numbers show that.
Well, they're floating this idea of like a another stimulus or some kind of payment that would counter the price of gas, passing something like that, because that's what works for Democrat. I guess it works for Democrat voters. Offer free money, and that will, with the hopes of balancing out the burden of higher energy prices. But that's not even a Band-Aid, is it?
No, I mean, it's just like the pumping and the strategic petroleum reserves that Biden jumped into a few months ago to try to lower prices. I mean, it lasts for a few days, and then it's right back to the same old, same old. It kind of reminds you of give a man a fish. You know, we've got the policies here that will fix it, and it's drill here, drill now. Open up the pipelines and open up American energy capabilities and technology. The only thing that stops us from being a world leader in energy right now is politics. It has nothing to do with technology, nothing to do with anything but Pelosi, Schumer, and Biden pushing this Green New Deal and the Democratic Party being hijacked by the left and these people who are climate change crazy. And that is really what it boils down to. This little quick money in the mailbox never works for the American people. It ends up costing us so much more in the long run. And we're just now paying for COVID from January. I mean, we're just now starting to pay the $1.9 trillion. And every time we print a dollar, it's nothing but paper and ink. It isn't worth the paper it is written on if there's not production behind it. And right now we are just printing money, and your dollars are going to buy less. As long as we keep that up, even if we send another check, the American people are going to suffer, and they're going to suffer for the long haul for these short-term, short-sighted, failed policies coming out of the White House and coming out of this hill here.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. Congressman, let's move on to something else here. COVID-19 winding down some of these policies, particularly the mask mandates, airlines, public transportation that the Biden administration has in place without much rhyme or reason there. But are we getting to the point now where, you know, it's going to take more noise from Congress to say, hey, this stuff is an old way of thinking. It's a burden on the American people. We need to start looking at stuff that works and not sort of, the superstitious approach to preventing COVID-19 that was prevalent in 2 years ago, right?
That's right. I mean, it's just symbolism over substance right now. These masks mean nothing. And so I actually got on a lawsuit with Thomas Massie, congressman from Kentucky, a few weeks ago. A number of us are suing to have the masks removed from the airplanes and from this Trade Commission deal where they've got all these people wearing masks and forcing it and saying it's federal law. We're on a suit right now to stop that. And you're right. It's just we're trying to put pressure now because we all see how silly this is. The 2 weeks to flatten the curve, it's been, 800 and something days now, I guess, but a long, long time. And so, and obviously now looking back, we realize the mask didn't work anyway, which most of us felt like they wouldn't. But, so Jeff, it's time to do away with the mask and move on. And kind of, it blows my mind that people still wear a mask outside right now. I just can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, and there's such a deference to expertise and people. They're trying to do the right thing, but I don't think we're getting necessarily the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's just almost like government wants to exert itself, and this is how it is being showcased. One more question here: 2022 election. We talked about this in the past. I think this is worth mentioning again. It's not only going to be a Republican year. You know that's the typical two-year after a presidential election kind of phenomenon. But what do you say? You're in the House Freedom Caucus. And this looks like a real opportunity for you guys to expand your ranks and become more of a force in the House of Representatives among Republicans.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually at dinner with Jim Jordan last night. We were talking about that. I think there's an opportunity as my class, a number of us joined the House Freedom Caucus when we came in. It was kind of that populist class. A lot of us were kind of outside the system, if you will. We weren't endorsed by all the great agencies or groups, and we didn't have all the money, but the American people really loved the message of America First. And so we kind of represent that Vox Populi, the voice of the real people, not the process, not the special interest, but the people themselves. And so I see that trend continuing, Jeff. I think we'll continue to see House Freedom Caucus type members elected. And as the House Freedom Caucus, that brand builds, and as we endorse and try to establish those around the country, I think it's an opportunity for us to continue to build true conservative voice of the people type candidates and have a bigger say in the process on the Hill.
Because it's really meaningful, you know, overall of the 435 members, not as important, but if you narrow it down to just Republicans and leadership wants to move a bill or something, they need y'all's votes if y'all stick together as a block, and that's why expanding those ranks is such important of importance.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it gives us an opportunity. You know, there'll be some opportunities with the House Freedom Caucus. You know, as the Republicans need our votes to increase spending, which we're typically 100% against, but we might could put a condition on policy. Well, you build a border wall, we might go a lot. We have to start negotiating in the process where McConnell and McCarthy, whoever the leader and speaker is of the House at the time, is that we now have 50 votes or 45 votes. Look, they're going to pass this one way or the other, but if they want to do it with Republicans and they want to do it with the House Freedom Caucus, then we're going to have some policies, whether it's building the wall or opening up energy production. There's going to be some big ask on our part to actually do things that start impacting the American people and what's coming out of D.C. and to make it better for America. And so I think, yeah, there's an opportunity for the House Freedom Caucus to have a say as we continue to build that brand and build our numbers with true conservatives.
Congressman, you're always very kind to come on this show, and we need to do it again soon. But thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I hope you have a great day.
You do the same. That was Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District. Let's get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.